Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening.
Good evening.
A warm welcome to those who have joined us this evening in the church auditorium and on the listen line. The members of this church pray for and expect healing. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 412. O dreamer, leave thy dreams for joyful waking. O captive, rise and sing, for thou art free. The Christ is here, all dreams of error breaking, and loosing bonds of all captivity. He comes to bless thee on his wings of healing, to banish pain and wipe all tears away. He comes anew to humble hearts, revealing the mounting footsteps of the upward way. Hymn number 412.
To give the joyful desolation, beauty for ashes of the vanished years, for every tear to bring for compensation, to give the confidence for all thy fears. He comes to call the lost to joyful singing, the deaf to hear, the blinded eyes to see, the glorious tidings of salvation bringing. O captive, rise, thy Savior comes to thee.
The Bible, Genesis. The heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." 1 Kings. Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar, which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, "O altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee." And he gave a sign the same day, saying, "This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, "Lay hold on him." And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in against him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, "Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again." And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. Daniel. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whiles he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise man of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God, gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose all thy ways hast thou not glorified. Then was a part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is a writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is interpretation of the thing, Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And in that night, Darius the Median took the kingdom. Luke. There came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. Ephesians. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Romans. Now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Psalms. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Nothing is real and eternal. Nothing is spirit but God and his idea. Evil has no reality. It is neither person, place, nor thing, but is simply a belief, an illusion of material sense. Entirely separate from the belief and dream of material living is a life divine, revealing spiritual understanding and the consciousness of man's dominion over the whole earth. This understanding casts out error and heals the sick. We must look deep into realism instead of accepting only the outward sense of things. Can we gather peaches from a pine tree or learn from discord the concord of being? Yet quite as rational are some of the leading illusions along the path which science must tread in its reformatory mission among mortals. The very name illusion points to nothingness. Mortal existence is a dream of pain and pleasure in matter, a dream of sin, sickness, and death. And it is like the dream we have in sleep, in which everyone recognizes his condition to be wholly a state of mind. In both the waking and the sleeping dream, the dreamer thinks that his body is material and the suffering is in that body. That scientific methods are superior to others is seen by their effects. When you have once conquered a disease condition of the body through mind, that condition never recurs, and you have won a point in science. When mentality gives rest to the body, the next toil will fatigue you less, for you are working out the problem of being in divine metaphysics. And in proportion as you understand the control which mind has over so-called matter, you will be able to demonstrate this control. The scientific and permanent remedy for fatigue is to learn the power of mind over the body or any illusion of physical weariness, and so destroy this illusion, for matter cannot be weary and heavy laden. When we wake to the truth of being, all disease, pain, weakness, weariness, sorrow, sin, death will be unknown, and the mortal dream will forever cease. My method of treating fatigue applies to all bodily ailments, since mind should be and is supreme, absolute, and final. Sooner or later, we shall learn that the fetters of man's finite capacity are forged by the illusion that he lives in body instead of in soul, in matter instead of in spirit. Christian Science raises the standard of liberty and cries, "Follow me, escape from the bondage of sickness, sin, and death." Jesus marked out the way. Citizens of the world, accept the glorious liberty of the children of God and be free. This is your divine right. The illusion of material sense, not divine law, has bound you entangled your free limbs, crippled your capacities, enfeebled your body, and defaced the tablet of your being. If sickness is real, it belongs to immortality. If true, it is a part of truth. But if sickness and sin are illusions, the awakening from this mortal dream or illusion will bring us into health, holiness, and immortality. This awakening is the forever coming of Christ, the advanced appearing of truth, which casts out error and heals the sick. This is a salvation which comes through God, the divine principle, love, as demonstrated by Jesus. Inasmuch as God is good and the fount of all being, he does not produce moral or physical deformity. Therefore, such deformity is not real, but is illusion, the mirage of error. Divine science reveals these grand facts. On their basis, Jesus demonstrated life, never fearing nor obeying error in any form. In the illusion of death, mortals wake to the knowledge of two facts. One, that they are not dead. Two, that they have but passed the portals of a new belief. Truth works out the nothingness of error in just these ways. Sickness, as well as sin, is an error that Christ, truth alone, can destroy. The fact that the Christ or truth overcame and still overcomes death proves the King of Terrors to be but a mortal belief or error which truth destroys, with the spiritual evidences of life. And this shows that what appears to the senses to be death is but a mortal illusion. For to the real man and the real universe, there is no death process. Divine science lays the axe at the root of the illusion that life or mind is formed by or is in the material body. And science will eventually destroy this illusion through the self-destruction of all error and the beatified understanding of the science of life. The dream that matter and error are something must yield to reason and revelation. Then mortals will behold the nothingness of sickness and sin and sickness will disappear from consciousness. The harmonious will appear real. The harmonious will appear real, and the inharmonious unreal. Critics will then see that error is indeed the nothingness, which they chide us for naming nothing, and which we desire neither to honor nor to fear. Medical theories virtually admit the nothingness of hallucinations, even while treating them as disease. And who objects to this? Ought we not then to approve any cure which is effected by making the disease appear to be what it really is, an illusion? Here is the difficulty. It is not generally understood how one disease can be just as much a delusion as another. It is a pity that the medical faculty and clergy have not learned this, for Jesus established this foundational fact when devils' delusions were cast out and the dumb spake. Any supposed information coming from the body or from inert matter, as if either were intelligent, is an illusion of mortal mind, one of its dreams. Realize that the evidence of the senses is not to be accepted in the case of sickness any more than it is in the case of sin. Mortal mind is constantly producing on mortal body the results of false opinions, and it will continue to do so until mortal error is deprived of its imaginary powers by truth, which sweeps away the gossamer web of mortal illusion. The most Christian state is one of rectitude and spiritual understanding, and this is best adapted for healing the sick. Death is but another phase of the dream that existence can be material. Nothing can interfere with the harmony of being, nor end the existence of man in science. Man is the same after as before a bone is broken or the body guillotined. If man is never to overcome death, why do the scriptures say the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death? The tenor of the word shows that we shall obtain the victory over death in proportion as we overcome sin. The great difficulty lies in ignorance of what God is. God, life, truth, and love make man undying. Immortal mind, governing all, must be acknowledged as supreme in the physical realm, so-called, as well as in the spiritual. Called to the bed of death, what material remedy has man when all such remedies have failed? Spirit is his last resort, but it should have been his first and only resort. The dream of death must be mastered by mind here or hereafter. Thought will waken from its own material declaration, I am dead, to catch this trumpet word of truth. There is no death, no inaction, diseased action, overaction, nor reaction. Life is real, and death is the illusion. In divine science, the material man is shut out from the presence of God. The five corporeal senses cannot take cognizance of spirit. They cannot come into his presence and must dwell in dreamland until mortals arrive at the understanding that material life, with all its sin, sickness, and death, is an illusion against which divine science is engaged in a warfare of extermination. Mortal belief enfolds the conditions of sin. Mortal belief dies to live again in renewed forms, only to go out at last forever. For life everlasting is not to be gained by dying. Christian science may absorb the attention of sage and philosopher, but the Christian alone can fathom it. It is made known most fully to him who understands best the divine life. Did the origin and the enlightenment of the race come from the deep sleep which fell upon Adam? Sleep is darkness, but God's creative mandate was, let there be light. In sleep, cause and effect are mere illusions. They seem to be something, but are not. Oblivion and dreams, not realities, come with sleep. Even so goes on the Adam belief, of which mortal and material life is the dream. Error is false mortal belief. It is illusion without spiritual identity or foundation, and it has no real existence. The supposition that life, substance, and intelligence are in matter or of it is an error. Matter is neither a thing nor a person, but merely the objective supposition of spirit's opposite. The five material senses testify to truth and error as united in a mind both good and evil. Their false evidence will finally yield to truth, to the recognition of spirit and of the spiritual creation. Let's join together for a few moments of silent prayer, then repeat aloud the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Our next hymn is number 359. This is the second verse. Trust the eternal, for the clouds that vanish no more can move the mountains from their base than since elusive wreaths of mist can banish light from his throne or loving from his face. Hymn number 359.
Trust the eternal when the shadows gather, when joys of daylight seem so like a dream. God, the unchanging, pities my father, lost on and with the day star yet shall gleam. Trust the eternal, for the clouds that vanish no more can move the mountains from their base than since elusive wreaths of mist can vanish void from his throne or loving from his face. Trust the eternal and repent in meekness of the heart's pride which frowns and will not yield. Then to thy child heart shall come strength and weakness, and an immortal life shall be revealed.
Our church is one of the many worldwide branches of the Mother Church, the First Church of Christ Scientist in Boston, Massachusetts. Sunday services are held here at 10:30 a.m. Sunday school is held at the same time for children up to the age of 20. Child care is provided for those too young for Sunday school. If you would like to listen to audio replays of our most recent Wednesday evening testimony meetings, go to our church website, carmelcs.org, and click on the Media tab at the top of the page. Then choose Wednesday Service Archive from the drop-down menu, where you will find a list of the recent replays available. This is now your time to share experiences, testimonies, or remarks on Christian Science. If you are in the church auditorium, just give Gloria a wave and she will bring you the microphone.
Thank you for your lesson. It was very timely. Today is the year today of Bob's passing, and progressing. He's progressed. He's progressing on. And the idea of illusion is what really, actually, I've been working on for the last month, because just in that, you know, being reminded of his last month, I've had to overcome a lot of bad mortal thinking of what the situation seemed to be but it was just an illusion. So I really would like to have your readings. I would like to study them. There were so many things in there that will be helpful to me. But as I said before, it's something that I've been working on. Really, I didn't Google the word illusion, and that would have been really cool if I had. But it just was it was like you culminated my whole last month, and I really, really appreciate it. You, as I said before, you when you make your lessons, you're doing it just for me. I feel like I know everybody else feels the same way. But also today on my phone came up periodically every day or every other day. My photos just automatically change their little album things that pop up. And today it popped up Bob. It said Bob 2010. So it was the whole, he was in every picture. And it's, you know, it's a real thing. It plays many, many pictures throughout 2010. And I just thought that was so cool that that's what happened today. I just feel like that was God and is communicating that a reassurance of life eternal. And that whole lesson that you just gave to everybody was just awesome. And so just proof of life that there is. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for the readings tonight. Your being here tonight is a testament to Church in Action. Nothing can stop the Christ truth from being disseminated to not only those in attendance, those listening on the listen line, and just the Christ truth goes out to the community, to our state, to our country, to the world, through the universe, really. And I am so grateful. You often mention the listen line, the Indiana Inspiration line, and I just got the latest statistics from them, and we have now between 300 and 400 hours of listening a month. People listening to the Bible lesson, El Geraldo, the Daily Lifts, and the Sentinel Watch. When you think that it's the lesson sermons maybe 25, 30 minutes long, that's a lot of listening, 400 hours. So I'm very grateful for the continued growth. And when we first started that, it was just a few, but word of mouth is spreading it not only to our community, but all over the nation. People are calling. And we're very grateful, obviously, for the contributions to keep it going. But it's wonderful that that's available any time of day or night, as you like to say in your announcements. So I just thought I'd share that with everybody.
Thank you. Thank you for your readings. You're beautiful and always so wonderful. And many of the things you read from the desk reminded me of I was listening to several Lawrence Doyle Sentinel radio programs today, and he did one with Nate Talbot many years ago. And it was about what is the creator? Who creates us? Is it Genesis 1 or Genesis 2, basically, is what they were talking about. But Lawrence Doyle began the program, and he spoke of his understanding of creation based on his understanding of science, which in his heart is rooted and grounded in a principle and order. And he said, God is creating us right now. And I love that idea. God is creating us right now. That was just such a cool thought to live with the rest of the day. And think of it, in every instance, in every place, with everyone. At any rate, Nate's shared some wonderful ideas too that took thought to principle that perfect God, perfect man, being the source of creation, that it was based on perfection. It was based on a father, mother, love, infinite God who is our parent, our loving parent. And then they had two testimonies that followed their conversation. And one was from Judy Hedrick and one was from Mark Swinney. And they were both on the same kind of topic. They both had been healed of the same situation, but had handled it in very different ways. And it was the belief of being pigeon-toed or their feet turning in and being deformed or their legs being arched. And they both shared how they worked and prayed and listened to understand their identity from a spiritual perspective, and that it was God that had made them and had made them perfect. And it was following that line of reasoning that resulted in healings for both of them. And it reminded me, and it's amazing how you can forget such substantial healings in your experience. And one of our twins had been born with very deformed legs and feet, and but she it was getting progressively better. When she was about 9 months, my husband and I decided that although we had been relying on Christian Science, that we should take her to a doctor. And just get an opinion on what, you know, maybe we should be doing. We just wanted so much to be doing the right thing. And so when I took her, the doctor was furious at me and thought that I should have been in months before, and said that it was going to be a very difficult healing and that she was going to have to wear heavy braces and she wouldn't walk at the normal time and she may not ever walk normally. Well, when I took that verdict home to my husband, we both decided just immediately to turn to a practitioner and Christian Science. So I called a practitioner, and we began a heartfelt prayer and dedicated prayer, devoted prayer. And, you know, it's also the prayer that seems to take some time. You know, it was a constant working with this practitioner over a period of, I want to say, 2 or 3 years. But she crawled when her twin crawled. She walked when her twin walked. And she ran when her twin ran. And so she really kept up. And honestly, I don't think Carter or I, either one, could tell you when the healing took place. It was just one of those things. We just had been praying so continuously that at some point in time, we just realized that she was absolutely, totally normal and perfect. She went on to play tennis. She was in dance groups and band groups and in performing arts in high school. And it's just one of those things that we, oh my goodness, so, so very grateful for. But most of all, how incredible is this science? It's just so amazingly incredible. God is so good. It is a science. It's based on the law of perfection. And it's an absolute reality. Anyway, your readings spoke to so many of those points. Thank you. Thank you always, Shirley, for your thoughts.
Thank you. I served in the reading room last Thursday and Friday, and I'm very grateful for those who on the first, second, third, and fourth Saturdays are very willing to serve on those days. And when I looked at the calendar, I realized there was a fifth Saturday, and there isn't anyone that normally serves. And I had to handle, another 3 hours. And I quickly reversed that and knew that I would be where God wanted me to be. And then I recalled, I think it's just been a few weeks ago, that you had readings on a Wednesday night about Paul. Mm-hmm. Okay. And somehow I recalled that and thought about how God provided for those that Paul was able to share with, and basically thought, okay, if God wants me to share something, he'll provide. And it was, our hours are 1 to 4, and about 20 minutes till 2, in walked a young couple, and I had been busy reading something, so I don't know whether they had looked at the screen that has many good thoughts on it that are in the window, but they came in and said, "What is this?" And as a result of the conversation, it turned out that they definitely, the young woman said she definitely believes in healing, and indicated that her words were something to the effect that through Jesus Christ she had been healed of something. And it was just a lovely conversation. I was able to share a science and health with them. Oh, and she mentioned that her dad is a minister in a community on the outskirts of Indianapolis to the south. And also, we had an extra full text. And so I was able to show them what our sermon would be on the following day. And they were so grateful and so happy. And I also shared a sentinel with them. And they went away with gratitude, and I had gratitude that God had led them to our reading room, and there were things that could be shared, and there was a receptive thought. So to me, it was answered prayer. Thank you for your lesson tonight.
Thank you.
I'd like to express my gratitude for the way that our church and churches are set up, and our option to call a practitioner when we're having a problem, because it can be so mind-opening and help you to become more clear in your thinking in regard to a situation that you're seemingly having an issue with. So I'm just so grateful for the help I got from a practitioner recently, very recently. And also, I'm grateful for, my wife and I have a tremendous amount of friends that we do things with constantly. And we were out tonight to dinner with a couple who, are just good friends. And I had another friend who we prepared a book for and a gift. And anyway, long story short, these people recognize the fact that we have a thought in our hearts that is giving, and we're constantly giving to others. And in a way, we're a team doing that, and it's a wonderful thing. And I'm so grateful for that. Marilyn and I met when we were 7 years old in a Christian Science Sunday school in Muncie.
And we've just been good friends and respected each other ever since. And it obviously led into something more serious than just friendship. And gosh, we've been married for 50 some years, but we're just so grateful for the fact that Christian Science plays a very big part in our lives and that it helps us relate to others. And as a result, they see this, and I'm pretty free to say, you know, it's all in your thought. And the way we've been raised as Christian Scientists, you think positive, wholesome thoughts about everyone. And life is eternal. So we're going to go on with this progress eternally. And that's one thing I had to see recently about one of my family members. And it's a growth, and it's wonderful. And I'm grateful for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's close our service by singing hymn number 486. This is the second verse. You send your word, your shining word of truth, forever one, and all mankind rejoice to know the dreamer, the dream of sorrow done. For this we bless you, Lord. Hymn number 486.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the listen line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.